All right, let's get our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew in chapter number 7. And the last time we met together 2 weeks ago, I only preached half of my message. I had to message down the way and the fruit. Last week we just got through the way. And this week we're going to talk about the fruit. And as we're coming to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is using a couple of different or several different contrasts. Like 2 weeks ago, we talked about the broad way and the narrow way. This week, we're going to talk about the fruit, the tree and the fruit, the corrupt tree and the good tree, the corrupt fruit and the good fruit. And we remember, as we have been studying this Sermon on the Mount, we remember that Jesus is beginning his public ministry. And he's just beginning to bring in followers, those who are going to be his disciples, those who are going to follow him. And he's been outlining for them what it means or what it looks like to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And he's been laying that out for them. And we've spent Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and much of Matthew 7, and Jesus laying that out for them. Now as he's coming to the conclusion of this Sermon on the Mount, he's warning them about following, and here you'll find in verse number 15, the first verse of our text that we're going to preach from today, he says, "Beware of false prophets." So he's teaching them, and he's saying, listen, beware of those who teach you falsehood. You want to be careful about who you follow, who you listen to. And so, again, remember, he's laying that out for these who are his followers. And remember, these are people who are Jewish. They have been trained in the Jewish religion from the time they were little children. For the men that were in the crowd, by the time they were 13 years old, they could quote the first five books of the Bible word for word. These aren't just fly-by-night people. That's what Jewish children learn to do. The Jewish children learned the Word of God, and they could quote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. When they become a young man, they had to be able to do that. And so these are people who have been trained in the Jewish religion. And he's encouraged them to be careful about who they listen to. And so as we think about this contrast that Jesus is laying out for them, again, he's talking about those who are on the broad way and those who are on the narrow way, those who are going to enter in at the straight gate. And so he's challenging them to think about where they are in their life. Do they have the characteristics of a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? And so he's really challenging them to look at their own life and to determine, hey, do I look like I'm one who's ready to enter the kingdom of heaven, or there's some places in my life where I know I'm not ready to enter the kingdom of heaven? So he's really challenging them. And of course, because of that, this has been one of the most famous passages of Scripture, because it's the first sermon that Jesus gave, but also because it causes all of us to look at our own lives and to look at our own character and ask ourselves, does my character look like someone that's ready for the kingdom of heaven? Does my everyday life, do I look like someone that is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? Am I walking, you know, one of my favorites in the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Am I a person who is a merciful in my life? And all those are the things that we look through. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. You know, am I a person that the main focus of my life is laying up treasures on earth, or am I one that's laying up treasures in heaven? And all of those things. So Jesus is challenging these people, and it challenges us to be very introspective also, and to look at our own hearts and to look at our own lives and say, do I possess the character of the citizen of the kingdom of heaven? And so let's read verses, begin reading in verse number 15 of Matthew chapter number 7, and we're going to read down through verse number 23. Jesus again standing on the hillside of Galilee. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And so that last verse there gives us the seriousness of this passage of Scripture. Because not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, unto him is really one of the Lord's sheep. Some he will profess unto them, I never knew you. And they will have to depart from him forever. And so there's some seriousness to this message. But let's go back to begin in verse number 15 and let's look at the fruit and let's just recognize that Jesus is using a metaphor to encourage his listeners to consider what they hear. And that's so important. It's so important for us to pay attention to what we hear. You know the little kid's song, oh, be careful little ears what you hear. Oh, be careful little ears what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful little ears what you hear. You know, we need to guard our ears because what goes into our ear goes into our mind, and what comes into our mind goes into our heart, and what enters into our heart is what we become. So the best way to make sure that you can cleanse your heart and keep your heart clean is to be careful what you hear. And so Jesus is reminding these to be careful what they hear because false prophets exist. Even when Jesus was walking on this earth, there were people who were teaching error. They were teaching things that were not according to the Word of God. And so Jesus is encouraging them to be careful with what they hear. Because here's their characteristics. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In other words, on the outside they look innocent. On the outside, you know, what was the saying we used to say? That person's a silver-tongued devil. I mean, you know, they speak so softly and so fluently, what is it? Sugar wouldn't melt in her mouth or something like that. Some of the old sayings, maybe it's honey wouldn't melt in her mouth. I don't know. But anyway, you know, they give the outward appearance that everything's good and everything's right and all that. But on the inside, they're ravening wolves. I can't get out of my mind that picture of Foghorn Leghorn, you know, and he's out there, him and his buddy, then they're out there. Or the sheepdog anyway, and they're out there in the cartoons, you know, and they're out there guarding the sheep, and there's that wolf that tries to put that sheep skin over his head and crawl into the field, you know. I can't get that figment out of my mind. I can't get that picture out of my mind, but you guys get the idea, right? Their desire is to destroy someone else for their own benefit. You see, this wolf in sheep's clothing is one who their whole objective is to devour the other person. They're not in it to build you up. They're not in it to try to help you. Their main objective is destruction. And so you need to be careful what you listen to. These are the words of Jesus. You see, false prophets will hinder these who are hearing the message of Jesus from entering the kingdom of heaven. They will divert their attention from the straight and narrow way and divert their attention to following a different way, and it actually is the broad way that leads to destruction. So the false prophets will hinder them. And the false prophets, their desire is to entrap you into their way of thinking. You know, they're not going to tell you on the outside that they're, hey, listen, I'm out here to destroy you. No, they're going to try to lead you astray. They're going to, you know, sort of like fishing, you know. When you're presenting that bait as a fisherman, you don't just lay a bare hook out there. You put something to conceal the hook. And then once they take the bait, then you set the hook. And that's what a false teacher does. A false teacher will teach things that appear lovely and appear to be beneficial to you, but really they're concealing what their true intent is, and their true intent is to entrap you, and once they have you following them, then they're going to set the hook, and they're going to pull you into their lair. And so they are very bold in their way of teaching. They want to condemn you if you are not following them. That's one of the ways that you can maybe be cautious, is if the first thing that comes out is, you're wrong if you don't go my way. You know, they're condemning you. That's classic manipulation, by the way. When someone comes out with those hard and bold and bringing condemnation and trying to use the fear tactic, that's a sure way to begin to question, hey, listen, if they're trying to manipulate me through using fear, maybe this is something I need to pay attention to. So Jesus is relaying to these that are listening to him to be careful, because false prophets exist. And if false prophets existed during the days of Jesus Christ, how much more do they, or are they present today? And so how much more careful should we be when we listen? And so Jesus teaches these, and if you turn to verse number 16, you shall know them by their fruits. You shall know them by their fruits. And so you need to begin to be a fruit inspector. What kind of fruit is this teacher producing? What would be the characteristics of the fruit for a good teacher? I think the good fruit of a teacher that you should listen to, of course, is one that always points you to Christ. Probably are pointing you away from themselves and pushing you towards Christ. Someone that's trying to build up the kingdom of Christ and not build up their own kingdom. They're pointing you to Christ, pushing you to Christ. Of course, they should always be biblical. This means they're not going to use an isolated verse to explain their position. They're not going to just take a group of singular verses to try to prove a point, but you know they're following the biblical storyline, that you ought to be able to tell the biblical storyline that begins in the book of Genesis, then it ends in the book of Revelation, that their teaching follows the biblical storyline. They're very intent on showing you what the Word of God says and teaching you verse by verse through the Word of God that this is what the Bible says. And if they're very intent on teaching redemptive history, that how that sin came into the world and that God is providing redemption for his people. They're intent on teaching you those things. And it's going to produce, therefore, faith and grace and long-suffering. They should be seeking the betterment of someone else. That's what a good tree is going to produce. It's going to bring forth good fruit, and it's going to point you towards eternal reward and not reward on this earth. And their focal point, if their focal point is blessings on this earth, and that's all their ministry is pointing you to, listen, that's not good fruit. Because what's going to happen to blessings in this earth? They're going to burn up and they're going to be gone. They're not going to last forever. But eternal rewards, and pointing you to eternal rewards. One of the things we want to understand is that many times the people that were the most faithful in the Scripture were those who suffered the most. They often had the least. Jesus said of him, even himself, right? I had no place to lay my head. And so we want to be careful and recognize that, when someone is teaching good fruit, they're teaching you about eternal reward and not earthly reward. And if the only thing they're focusing on is earthly reward, you need to be cautious and be careful. These are the words that Jesus is teaching unto these who are listening to him, and they are words that we should heed. What about evil fruit? You see, it says a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. And so we ought to, but a corrupt tree, verse 17, brings forth evil fruit. What would evil fruit be? Well, in my mind, as I said and tried to consider what evil fruit would be, it would be fruit that was focused on self, focused on the world, or focused on the flesh. It would be non-biblical. Have you listened to people who the primary focus of their ministry, you cannot find it in the scripture anywhere? The things that they stand the strongest on are not in the scripture. Have you seen those people? I have, and there's many of them today. The focus of their ministry, you cannot find it in the scripture. Non-biblical, selfish, glorifying their own person, or belittling others. Listen, if the focal point of someone's ministry is belittling someone else, let's think of the Pharisees in the day that Jesus is speaking here. What did the Pharisees say? What was their focal point? Look at us. You guys need to walk like us. And then what else did they do? You guys aren't any good. You guys can't be like us. You know, look at the Samaritans, they're dogs. Look at the publicans, they're dogs. They had no compassion for those who needed them the most. They needed the truth of God's word the most. They had no compassion for them. Think about in Luke 18:11 when the Pharisee and the stood and praying. He said in Luke 18:11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are. You know, we don't want to be like that. And that's what the Pharisees would, that was the air that they would present. I'm glad I'm like me, and I'm glad I'm not like them. Now, that's not good fruit. That's what Jesus is pointing out so much. Look at the Pharisees and look at the goal and objective of what their teaching is. And the goal and objective of their teaching is, look at me and you're a dog. And listen, if the objective of your ministry is to point out the errors of someone else and to tear someone else down all the time, we need to be cautious about that. Because again, good fruit is going to build someone up, not tear someone down. And listen, we need to listen to this in the church, because there's more than enough people out in this world to tear us down. We don't need to tear each other down inside the church, inside the assembly. We need to, as the little kid's song that we used to have on the tape in the car, encourage one another and build each other up. Build each other up. I'm in the wrong tune, but build each other up. Encourage one another and build each other up. Up, 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 up. That's what we need inside the church, not tearing one another down. And so we need to pay attention. What kind of fruit are we producing? And what is the reward? Is the reward earthly or is the reward heavenly? Evil fruit would be focusing only on earthly reward. And so Jesus is encouraging these who are listening to his message to pay attention to the teachers. And you know, pay attention to what you're listening to. And Jesus was fully confident in saying, listen, I'm fully confident that you can listen to me, is what Jesus is saying. I'm leading you down the straight and narrow way that leads to heaven. Follow me. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? And you know, as the pastor, I'm telling you to pay attention to who you listen to. And that includes me. That includes anyone that says they're preaching the Bible. You need to pay attention to what you're listening to. You need to make sure that the person that is directing you in your spiritual health is presenting to you truth, and that their ministry is producing good fruit. So it's so impactful for us. And why is it impactful for us? And why do we need to listen? Because at the end, there's some that's going to say, "But Lord, Lord, didn't we?" And he's going to say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." It's important who you listen to, because some are going to follow the wrong teaching and they're going to end up being separated from Jesus forever. This is serious. You need to make sure you know who you're listening to. Because verse 18 tells us at the second part of that verse, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You got a corrupt tree and you got a good tree. A corrupt tree cannot produce good fruit. I think it was Gill who said this: it is not the fruit which produces a good tree. It is a good tree which makes good fruit. So you understand that? A corrupt tree is going to produce corrupt fruit, and a good tree is going to produce good fruit. Let me give you a little example. If you go up and look at my front yard, right now there's a big crabapple tree there, and it's beginning to bloom, and it's pink, and it's beautiful, and the smell is, I mean, it's got a smell to it. I mean, it's just, it's, I don't know what kind of, it's a good smell. Okay, that's not a very good adjective, but it's a good smell. I mean, it smells beautiful, you know. So you got a beautiful tree, and you got a beautiful smell. However, can that tree produce a fruit worth eating? It's a crabapple tree. It's going to have little apples on it later. Are you going to eat those? I can answer that. No. That tree, no matter how beautiful it is on the outside, is not going to produce a big old red delicious apple. It can't do it. Why not? Because it's a crabapple tree. And it's going to produce crabapples. You know, go down on Daryl's house, and if the weather's right, you can keep the deer out of them and all that, he's going to have some apples this fall. Good, delicious apples. Because he's got, what kind of trees you have, Daryl? Red delicious, yellow delicious? Red and yellow delicious. So that's what kind of fruit's going to come on it, because that's what kind of tree it is. So when we're thinking about teachers, an evil tree cannot produce good fruit. Okay, an evil tree cannot produce good fruit. A corrupt tree only produces rotten or worthless fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And so you look at the fruit and you see what kind of fruit is being produced, and that's what kind of tree it is. And so there's this contrast here. Again, it's a contrast that Jesus is giving. It's a metaphor for them, so it will help them in their decision making, and who are they going to follow? Are they going to follow him, or are they going to follow their religious teaching that they've had in the past? Are they going to follow and become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, or are they going to continue to follow the false teaching that they have been listening to? A corrupt tree is going to bring forth rotten or worthless fruit. A corrupt tree can only produce evil fruit, hurtful fruit, or fruit that is not beneficial. But a good tree, see, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. That's what a good tree does. A good tree is going to bring forth good fruit. In other words, an apple tree, a golden delicious apple tree down at Daryl's house, is not going to produce crab apples like the tree at my house. Why? Because it's a red delicious tree, so it's going to produce red delicious apples. And so a good tree is going to bring forth good fruit. But what makes fruit good fruit? What makes fruit good fruit? Well, good fruit is that which will glorify God and is pleasing to the Father. Remember, you do your good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, always do those things that please the Father. So the teaching that Jesus is warning them to pay attention to is to listen to and look at the type of fruit that is being produced. And the type of fruit that's being produced, if it's good fruit, is fruit that will glorify the Father and is pleasing to the Father. That's why Jesus said, you know, it doesn't just look good on the outside. It doesn't just look like a good work. But its objective is to glorify the Father. You see, there are many things that can be done in the world, and they can look good, but what's their objective? Is the objective bringing glory to God? Is the objective to be pleasing to the Father? You see, if the objective is only to make me look good, or if the objective is to bring glory to myself, then that's not a good work. I may be out feeding the poor every day. But if I'm doing that in order to say, well, look at Mark, look what kind of guy he is, that's not a good work. Because the end result is glory for Mark. It's not glory for our Father which is in heaven. And that's what Jesus is warning these about. Listen to their teaching and what's their objective? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to glorify our Father which is in heaven? Or are they trying to glorify themselves? That's why Jesus says, or the Word of God says, Psalm 51:6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. See, he doesn't care what it looks like on the outside. He wants to know what the true heart of the good work is. Is the objective being pleasing to the Father? Again, Gill says this, just as a corrupt tree cannot produce good fruit, a good tree will not produce worthless fruit. A good tree is going to produce good fruit. And so again, Jesus is trying to get them to contrast here, to use a tree that was easy for them to comprehend. Again, many times when they're teaching lessons, they're using agricultural ideas because all of these would be aware of and they can make a decision and understand the metaphor of a tree and a good tree bringing forth good fruit and an evil tree bringing forth evil fruit. They would be able to comprehend that and understand it. And so that's why Jesus used these teachings. And he goes on and he tells them the end of a corrupt tree, verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Jesus wants them to understand what they are choosing if they refuse to follow him. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This also alerts us to understand that Jesus has the power of condemnation. The power of condemnation was delivered unto the Son. And Jesus is the one that has judgment. And he's the one that has the ability to pass judgment. And if he says that tree is evil and it's not producing evil fruit, they're going to chop it down and throw it into the fire. He is the one that has that ability. But I want you to notice what it doesn't say. This doesn't say that evil trees will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Notice what it does say. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. You see, it didn't say every evil tree is cut down and cast in the fire. It says every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Now, it's subtle in what he's saying, but what he's saying is that if you are a good tree, you're going to bring forth good fruit because good trees bring forth good fruit. And so it causes us to ask ourselves and for us to think about the kind of fruit that we are producing. Jesus is asking those who are following him. You look at the teacher you're listening to. You pay attention to the kind of fruit that's being produced by their ministry and by the teaching that they're presenting unto you. And if they are not producing good fruit, What's going to be the end result of that tree? What's going to be the end result of that teaching? It's going to be cast away. And I know that this is specifically talking about those who are false teachers. But it is a teaching that we can take and we can apply to our lives. And we can think about, what kind of fruit am I producing? Where is the good fruit in my life? If I'm a good tree, there will be good fruit. And if there's no good fruit, what happens to every tree that doesn't produce good fruit? It's hewn down and cast into the fire. And so this is a good place for us to be very introspective and to be asking ourselves about the good fruit we are producing with our lives. Serious things for us to think about. Because Jesus goes on and he talks about his own fruit, the Lord's fruit in verses 21 through 23, which we ever already read. But notice, he said in verse 20, by their fruits you shall know them. So the teachers that are teaching, the type of fruit that they produce, you'll know what kind of teacher they are by the fruit that they are producing. Same thing with our own hearts. We can look at our own hearts and we can find out the reality of what's going on in our heart by the type of fruit that we are producing. And then Jesus goes on to say, you know, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see, not every fruit is the Lord's fruit. There's a lot of people out there who are doing good things for selfish reasons. From man's perspective, they look like a good deed. But they're not for the glory of God. They're not to be pleasing to the Father. They look good, but it's for selfish reasons. Good fruit will be according to God's will and for His glory. Something for us to think about. Remember the story that Jesus tells, and it's later on, but I know you all, it'll be later on in the book of Matthew, which we'll get there later. But Jesus tells the parable about the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13. And he says this, another parable put he forth unto them in verse 24, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He saith unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in a time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. What's that tell us? That the separation between the wheat and the tares is not going to happen until the time of the end. And so it's important that you pay attention to fruit, because that separation is not going to come until the time of the end. And not every fruit that's out there is the Lord's fruit, because not every fruit is a good fruit. It may be good fruit from man's perspective, but it's not good fruit from God's perspective. You see, some fruit are only self-appointed. Again, a commentator said this, the good works which false prophets can perform may include even what we associate with Christian leadership. In other words, it may look like they're being Christian. It may look like they're doing Christian things. But in all actuality, they're not Christian, because it's not in their heart and it's not for the glory of Christ. And here's a way we can understand this. Remember when Moses was in Egypt and he's about to lead the children of Israel out and he's performing the plagues? And remember, he threw his rod down and it turned into a serpent. And what did the magicians do? They turned a rod into a serpent. And when he went out and he touched the rod to the Nile River and the river turned to blood, what did the false prophets do? They turned the Nile to blood also. So it looked like a good thing, But in all actuality, what was they doing? They were just bringing more misery upon Egypt. What should the, if the magicians were doing a good work, Moses would have turned the river to blood and then they would have turned it back clean. But no, what did they do? They just made it more bloody. They just brought more damage to the Egyptians. It looked like they were doing a work of God, but in all actuality, they were not. So they didn't realize. So here, when Jesus is talking to them about their fruits and the fruit that they produce, and he's saying, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, these that this is talking about, those, they felt like they were, thought they were doing good things, but they didn't recognize they were producing evil fruit. They could not see the truth because of their own self-deception. They had deceived themselves to believe a lie. They thought, but they were not doing the will of our Father which is in heaven. Sort of like Balaam. You know, Balaam was called down to curse the children of Israel, and Balaam felt self-righteous because he said, well, I can only say what God tells me to say. And so he felt vindicated because I only did what God told me to say. But what's the New Testament say about him? We don't really, what's his heart? What did he really want to do? In his heart, he really wanted to curse Israel. God wouldn't let him. God made him bless Israel. But he really, in his heart, he wanted to curse Israel. And what's the New Testament say? Let me read a couple of verses to you. Jude 1:11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Corey. So, Balaam wanted the reward. Those who are in this book, who are doing these good works, they're only doing it for their own reward. This Revelation 2:14 says this also about Balaam. But I have a few things to say against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So even though he said, I can only say what God says, he tried to teach them a way to go around what God says. You see, the heart wasn't right. The heart wanted a reward, and the heart really wanted to curse the children of Israel. What are we saying here? Why do I bring that up? These who Jesus is talking about, they're only in it for their own reward. What they're doing is only for their own reward. And their heart is really not to do the will of their Father. They want to do their own will. They want to do their own thing. They want to do it in their own way. They're not really about serving the Lord according to His will. They want to do it their own way. It's a challenge for us to think about our own hearts and our own way. And what are we doing? And are we only doing things for our own glory, for our own reward? And are we doing it our own way? Or are we doing it for the glory of the Father which is in heaven and according to our Father which is in heaven? It's a huge point for us to listen to. What's the response of Jesus? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you in love or affection. I never approved of your conduct. I never knew you do one good work in all your life. Your works were never with an eye to my glory. So Jesus is warning these to pay attention to those they listen to pay attention to the fruit that's being produced in their own lives and the lives of those who are teaching them. And as we consider these contrasts which are found in this conclusion to the Sermon on the Mount, we want to heed these words of Jesus. He's pointing out the differences between those who follow him and those who do not. Those who are denying themselves and taking up their cross and following him, and those who are following their own way. Those who are following their own way are on the broad way that leads to destruction. But those who are following him are entering into the straight gate and walking the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. So, what type of teacher are you listening to? What type of fruit does your tree produce? Are you a citizen of the kingdom? You see, the characteristics of the citizens of kingdom are found in the Sermon on the Mount. You should be intently, if I'm a follower of Jesus, following what the Sermon on the Mount teaches should be imperative to you. Because this is what a citizen of the kingdom looks like. You ought to be intent on saying, this is what the Word of God teaches. I want to make sure I know what the Word of God teaches. So I want to get in the Word. I want to hear the Word. I want to read the Word. I want to study the Word. Because the citizens of the kingdom walk according to the Word. Something for us to consider. Because there are going to be those who hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. There are going to be those who have thought they were doing good works, but they're going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. I never loved you. You were never my child. That's going to be the reality for some. Make sure it's not the reality for you. The contrast between the good tree and the evil tree, the good fruit and the evil fruit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity we had to get together and to learn from your word and to preach and to pray and to sing. God, I pray that you will stir all of our hearts, first and foremost, to make sure that we're following you. And second of all, Lord, any of us that are teachers of your word, I pray that we will consider the teaching that we present. And to make sure that the teaching that we present is producing good fruit. We thank you today that Jesus has laid out this path for us. And I pray that we will see it and we will follow it for your honor and your glory. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.